Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 227 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. India won the gold medal after defeating Sri Lanka by 19 runs in the women's T20I final of the 19th Asian Games at China. This marks the inaugural gold medal victory for the Indian women's cricket team at the Asian Games, while the runners-up Sri Lanka secured the silver medal. In this episode, we look at India's campaign through all their matches, assess performances, and analyze key takeaways and observations. On the podcast today, we have Habil Ahmed. He currently works with Sportskeeda, leading their commentary team, and has also written articles for the website, some of them being about women's cricket. He passionately follows women's cricket as well. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Habil. Welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. Now, we are reunited on the podcast on such a positive note, right? India has won the Asian Games gold, and this is obviously massive, right?
First of all, thank you, Neha, for having me back. I thought you wouldn't call me after the last time, but anyway. Like you said, it is obviously on a really positive note. I think it's great that we won the gold medal at the Asian Games, right? So it is pretty brilliant, as you said.
Right. And now, even entering the Asian Games, did you expect that India would win this gold? And how happy or, you know, dissatisfied were you with the team selection before it started?
So, do I have to be 100% honest here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was convinced India was getting gold. Okay. I mean, like, without being too disrespectful to the other teams, I feel India is a lot stronger than the other teams. Maybe, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously on like an odd day, you'd see a Sri Lanka or a Pakistan or a Bangladesh beating India, like has happened in the recent past, but we will not get into that today. but yeah, you know, like it's still think that when your team is as good as India's, I think at least in comparison to the rest of the teams in Asia, I think you'd expect a gold medal win, right? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I'm still really happy with the result because it sort of did, you know, like sort of drive home the fact that, you know, they are the strongest team in Asia, at least. And the real competition probably is outside the continent, right?
Yeah.
As for the team selection, mm-hmm. Very honestly, there's like a massive personal agenda of mine that kind of got ignored, which I was a little disappointed with. So I was really hoping to see Shreyanka Patil play at some point. And obviously the team, the selection committee had their reasons for going with the team they did. They just still didn't go with a really strong team, of course. And you would have, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would have different opinions on players who could have been in the squad, which is all right, which I think is fair. But at the same time, I don't think it was a particularly weakened squad either, right?
Absolutely. The dearth of talent is something that has not, you know, troubled us in the recent past, at least. And now, you know, just talking about India's campaign as well, we started off directly with the quarterfinals. This point, you know, I will bring up a little later on in our episode about how fair is it to, you know, just enter the quarterfinals. But now, you know, this is a match versus Malaysia. India batted first, put up a massive 173 on board. So do you think this was a commendable batting performance or just, you know, minnow bashing?
I think it's both, to be honest.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like with all due respect to Malaysia and their team, I think there is a bit of a gap, right? And there's no shame in admitting that. But at the same time, I think the Indian batters did do well to sort of really push out, you know, to actually sort of attack the way they did and sort of really put a pretty big score on board, right? And that's, to be fair, that's not something we're too used to from the team. It does happen. I'm not saying it never happens, but you don't generally see like a 170 in 15 overs. It's rare to see it in 20 overs even at times, but you know, 173, like in 15 hours, I thought it was brilliant. And also, like, I was pretty happy, and this is very tongue-in-cheek, so I was pretty happy to see Smriti Mandana survive a couple of overs of off spin until she got out, of course. But But yeah, it is what it is, I guess. And overall, I think it was a great batting performance, Shefali. And I think it was Jemmy also who
Yeah.
played like well that year, right? Yeah. So I think it was a great performance from the top order.
And what was refreshing, to see from this match is how Kanika Ahuja made her debut. And great to see her Women's Premier League performances finally getting rewarded. And will India persist with her somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely is. I mean, I'm really glad that Kanika Ahuja did get picked up because I thought so. I'm an RCB fan myself, and I
Yeah.
was honestly very, very happy with how she performed in the WPL, right? Like, I think as an RCB fan, there were two things I could be happy about during that tournament. One, as I mentioned earlier, was Priyanka Patel. The other, of course, is Kanika Ahuja.
Agreed.
And I felt they were fantastic, right? And obviously, great to see Kanika get those performances. And
Fair enough. And talking about this batting performance that Shefali Varma put in, it was really great to see her make her presence felt, and she was ably supported by Jennymar Rodrigues. That definitely set the tone for the match as well. So good to see them play in this fearless attacking zone finally.
absolutely, I think that's the one like massive complaint we've had, right? Over the years, like they're not attacking enough, they're not really scoring runs at a rate that's quick enough for the modern game, and we see that part. And it was good to see them put that aside, be a little ruthless, be a little aggressive, and just absolutely go after the bowling, right? So that
Yeah.
definitely was a positive for me, yeah, for sure.
And another major positive from this match has to be Richa Ghosh, right? Now, in this match, she registered her highest ever strike rate in the Asian Games at 300. And do you somewhere feel that, she's finally cementing her place as the finisher that India has long wanted? And hopefully, those fitness issues are at bay.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think I'm not the right person to comment on the fitness issues because obviously there are coaches seeing her, and like, as in, there isn't too much to go by in terms of her feeling for me to say that, fitness is like a massive stumbling block or whatever, right? But in terms of her batting, I think she's starting to come good, and anytime she comes good, I think it's an absolute pleasure to watch, right? As it was Malaysia game where I think 19th over, wasn't it? Where she went, sorry, 14th over, wasn't it? Where she went 4-6, 4-4. And she's absolutely tonking bowling. Always great to see. Like, I'm a big fan of Richa Ghosh when she's batting like that. Even otherwise, but more so when she's batting like that. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And although this match could have seen like that amazing conclusion and India getting a massive win, rain had the final say and we could not see that result. But somewhere did you feel that both the teams were not on an equal footing and it would have been another dull rubber, like India dismissing them cheaply and the match going nowhere?
Again, Neha, you're making me say things about Malaysia that I don't want to say.
Okay.
But with all due respect, as always, I think there is enough of a gap for it to turn into a bit of a dull rubber. But I think the experience of batting against bowlers of a higher quality, right, would have been good for the Malaysian batters, and that bowling practice would have been good for the Indian bowlers as well. So I think it is a missed opportunity. Like, losing out due to rain is, according to me, is a big miss, irrespective of whether the match was going to be like a dull rubber or a close one. So yeah, I think it is a big miss nonetheless.
You just called it a practice match, your words. But
I'd say practice. Okay,
and now, moving on to the semi-finals, which was India's second match. Now it was this amazing game versus Bangladesh. It was a dominant display from Team India, skittling Bangladesh for 51. I mean, there was a lot of expectations coming into this match, considering we had this whole ODI and T20 series versus Bangladesh just earlier this year, right? So, what were your expectations coming into the match and thoughts on this one?
To be honest, I generally thought it would be a lot closer than it was, because obviously the ODIs and the T20s in Bangladesh were a lot closer, and the pitch in general, I think, in Hangzhou did tend to have a bit for the spinners as well, which I think the Bangladeshis would prefer, right? But that said, clearly, like, India's pacers had something else working for wreck the lineup. And also, I think the one major thing missing from this game, of course, was unfortunately Harpreet Kaur. But it is what it is, I guess.
Exactly. And now, you know, talking about the Pacers making the most of these conditions, Pooja Vatrakar was definitely operating on a whole different level, right? Scalping like 4 wickets in that miserly spell. Was it finally good to see her, you know, operating well in this non-injury zone and being that X factor India has always sought out for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that we have a pacer who is you know, getting your wickets and you know, her name's not Renuka Thakur for a change, is brilliant by itself. And I thought, when I had to look back at the wickets again today, and I thought there were some great you know, great deliveries in that spell. She got them, like, I think, in fact, especially early on, I think the first couple of wickets, they were playing all around her. And you could see that it was a little difficult for the Bangladeshi batters to sort of, you know, like, score any runs of Pooja. And they did lose wickets to her, of course. But yeah, and at the same, I was actually joking with a friend saying, you know, like, it's a little disappointing how Pooja Vasireka is, like, the most expensive bowler of the lot in the... But it was still only at like 4 point something, so still a real spell, of course, but it just goes to show how well the other bowlers did as well to sort of not you know, like, concede too many runs.
Absolutely. Like, you know, the likes of Titus Sadhu or Rajeshwari Gaikwad, Amanjot Kaur, they really complimented her well, registering some good figures and very economical spells. So Samir, do you see this bowling attack, you know, assimilating and coming really strong?
Yeah, absolutely, right? Like, because I think, I mean, to be fair, when we speak about Teresa, though, I think this is not the match we're going to remember her for from this tournament, right? We'll get to that a little later, as you would. But I thought she did superbly in the Bangladesh game as well, as did all the other bowlers, Rajeshwari, Oman Jadkar. And I think it is pretty important for Rajeshwari to sort of have that kind of a day. I think 2023 has not necessarily been her best year, right? And I think the fact that she's had a couple of good games now is quite important to the Indian team, in my opinion, because I think she's a fantastic player. And it's always good to have her in good space, right?
Yeah. Agreed. And now even chasing, you know, that total of 52 was not very difficult for Team India, because you had Jemima and Shefali, you know, seeing us through later, Kanika coming in without much difficulty. So what were your takeaways from that batting performance?
I mean, to be very honest, batting performance wise, I genuinely did not have much to take away, because there wasn't really much on the board, right? But I'm also glad that they sent in someone like a Kanika in at 4. Although it wasn't like a lot of runs for her to score, there's still a little bit of time out in the middle, which I think would do any youngster good, right? Like, I think that is something that players would need, especially with someone like Harman not being in the 11 for the first couple of games. I think it is good for Kanika to come out, bat a few balls at least. Though ideally, I think if she could have played on for a little longer, it would have been good. But it is what it is. When your bowlers bowl that well, I think it's a little difficult to give your batters more time out in the middle.
Right. And, you know, in spite of this easy total, Bangladesh, which is, you know, a new look side, has so many new players now, was still able to scalp 2 wickets and put a little bit of pressure, right? So what were your thoughts on that mini comeback and fight we were seeing?
Again, like, I generally feel it's a little difficult to read into this, right? Because I mean, to be honest, it was a bit of a freak day that went really bad for Bangladesh. It's not something that would happen on any given day, right? And you'd expect Bangladesh to score a lot more than 50 runs in any given game, but things just didn't pan out for them. When you have a target of 52, I mean, it's obviously a great job that they did to pick up a couple of wickets, but I don't think there's much we can read into here, because there was never a target, to be honest, for them to defend. So, yeah.
Exactly. And it's versus a team like India who will definitely, you know, make the most of opportunities like this. And now a win like this guaranteed them a place in the final versus Sri Lanka, right? Now, looking at this match, India perhaps had a tougher outing with the bat, you know, considering the conditions, getting reduced to 116, even though Smriti Mandhana and Jemima Rodrigues, you know, put their best foot forward in that partnership. And the rest of the batting did not quite stand up. So, you know, the Sri Lankan bowlers really spinning a web around our girls.
Yeah, absolutely, right. So I think early on, I mean, you could see that it wasn't the easiest pitch to bat on because I think it is quite sluggish. It didn't really give you the pace, like give a batter the pace that they'd have liked, you know, to sort of score at a quicker rate. But that said, I think you'd expect initially, like, so I was still a little disappointed initially with the pace at which they were batting, but I understand what the more I watched that match, I was like, okay, no, fair enough. You can't really have them go a lot faster than this. And when they did try to go a lot faster, you saw what happened. And yeah, so I think the Sri Lankan spinners did really well to sort of come back into the game, given where they were and given how good that second wicket partnership was. But that said, I think it was also a little disappointing that the Indian batters, middle order and lower middle order, couldn't really hold it together and sort of push that total to like a 130 or 140, right? Because it definitely looked like they could get there when Mandhana and Jemmy were batting, right? So yeah.
Exactly. And even when you look at the Sri Lankan bowlers, you know, who got the better of our batters, Udeshika, Prabodhini, Inoka Ranavira, and Sugandhika Kumari, they all came to the fore, you know, stifling India. So, how impressed were you with their efforts? And somewhere again, you know, do you see this bowling attack consolidating to something? And hopefully, you know, they can be world dominators soon.
I mean, I think they did a really good job. I think all of the bowlers, Prabodhini, Ranavira, and Sugandhika were great, right? And they did a brilliant job to sort of pull back what could have been a 130, 140 total. They gave their batters something to work with. And I think they were like fantastic in sort of triggering that collapse of sorts, right? But that said, I think world beaters might be a bit far, bit of a stretch at the moment, right? I think because they obviously need a lot more support in terms of the bat as well. But I mean, it can't, I mean, as important as bowling is to a team winning tournaments, I think you're not going to actually win these tournaments unless you've got a solid batting attack. Of course, Sri Lanka have the players to sort of, you know, really improve their batting and score more runs, right? And you've got a obviously they're coming up, you've got a Chamariya Tapatu that nobody can really speak enough good about, right? But yeah, I think it's still a while away, but you need to see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, shaping up well, definitely. And now considering, you know, Sri Lanka boasts the likes of Chamariya Tapatu, the target shouldn't have seemed that difficult. Yet, you know, Sri Lanka folded for 97 for 8 in what can be, you know, considered this collective batting failure. So, did you get a chance to, you know, watch that run chase, and what did you make of it?
I did. So again, like, I think my Indian overconfidence might show a bit here, but I was super confident after Tita Sadhu got Chamariya Tapatu out. I think that for me was the point where I said, okay, I think we're winning this game. I don't see us losing from here. Of course, Hasini Perera almost proved me wrong a few moments later, but thankfully, yeah, it wasn't to be for Sri Lanka, and it was a gold medal win for India. And I think that Atapattu wicket definitely made a massive difference there. So yeah.
And a lot of people think, you know, the batting is too like over dependent on her. So it wasn't quite surprising that after her wicket, it was pretty much done and dusted. Now, even in what was a proper outing of Sri Lanka, the Indian bowlers really dominated from the front, right? You had Titus Sadhu scalping 3 wickets, Rajeshwari Gaikwad taking 2, then you had Devika Vaidya, Pooja Vastrikar, and Deepti Sharma taking 1 each. How pleased were you with that bowling performance? And somewhere you see, oh my God, would they choke or not? or was that scare also there somewhere?
I mean, in terms of the joke scare, that's frankly, that's always there, right? Like, mm-hmm. whether it's the men's team, the women's team, I think it's just, I've just gotten used to watching jokes from them in the past, right? And no offense, like, it's something that can happen. So that's always a possibility, mm-hmm. right? But frankly speaking, like, I think from this innings, I think it was basically like, I mean, we can always talk about how good all the bowlers were as a collective unit, right? And mm-hmm. they definitely were great. But I think on the day, Tita Sadhu was like a grade above, right? Like she's a level above everyone else.
Hmm.
And it showed, like her bowling figures suggest that as well. And she, like, not only did she pick up 3 wickets, right? She picked up the top three, which I think made a massive difference, especially after that first over where Deepti went for quite a few runs. And it looked like Atapattu was basically like stamping her authority on the game, and she's going to take the match to India and sort of chase it down as soon as she could. But then Sadhu steps in, bowls a double wicket maiden, comes back for a second over, picks up Samari Atapattu's wicket. And at that point, you're like, okay, I think this game is 117 shouldn't be a difficult target, but I think at this point the game is done, right? Like it's there in the back of your head, and I think that's what made the difference. But overall, was a very pleasing bowling performance from the entire side. But yeah, like special mention for Sadhu for sure.
Absolutely. And now, you know, just taking our discussion forward to understanding more about the discourse around this whole Asian Games. So how would you assess like the conditions of China, you know, being conducive for cricket? Because some matches were like washed out, and then some games were like thoda high scoring, some were like low scoring. So how would you look at it?
I think it was fairly inconsistent right, through the few games that we did watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think at a lot of points, what happens is if there is a big enough gulf in quality between the teams, there are times the pitch doesn't really come into the picture, which I felt is kind of what happened in the Malaysia game as well. Basically, you did see the pitch being taken out of the game by the fact that they did bowl a lot of full tosses, right? And I felt they were punished for almost every single one of those full tosses, right? so that kind of thing does come into the picture. And conditions-wise, you'd have to also talk about the rain, which I think was very disappointing in a lot of instances. But thankfully, we did get to see like two full semifinals, a full final. So, I mean, no complaints there, I guess. Or at least what you could call full finals, full semis, but yeah, it is what it is, I guess, in the end of the day.
Right. And at last, what are some of the biggest positives for Team India that you would take away from this tournament onto the next one we move?
I think the bowling for sure, because in one instance they got Bangladesh all out, another instance they bowled 20 overs to Sri Lanka but kept them down to under 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the two balls against Malaysia weren't very telling, but I think what they've done in the last couple of games, I think, were fantastic. And as much as I believe the batters did do a great job, right, wherever they did get an opportunity, I mean, at least more often than not, apart from that one collapse we did get to see, I think that wasn't, it was good, but I think it is the bowling that really stood out this time around for India, right? So yeah, that is for sure. Tita Sadhu specifically, if I may name, is big fan of youngsters breaking into the team and sort of really taking the game by the scruff of its neck, which is what she did. And yeah, I think it's great.
Exactly. And now, although, you know, India's had this golden campaign, you know, winning this gold medal, do you think, you know, there are any areas to work on and come back stronger, perhaps?
There's always one massive area that seems to be a constant with this team to work on. And I hope that changes in the near future at least, but I think the fielding can get a lot better.
Yes.
Right? And we've seen very disappointing dropped catches.
Mm-hmm.
The ground fielding is something that for a while has been something that could have been even better, right? Thankfully, we didn't see things cost us too much in terms of matches and in terms of us losing games, but I think that does need to be better. That kind of feeling generally feels like something that would be punished when you go outside of Asia and like, you know, play against like in Australia or in England. And I not really want to bring them up during an Asian Games discussion, but that is one place I think the Indian team really needs to work on, and I hope it's something that gets better soon as well.
Exactly, and I mentioned this point earlier, and I'm going to be talking about it now as to how India kind of made their way to the quarterfinals and did not have any group stage matches. This was mainly because of ICC rankings and how these four teams got a chance to directly feature in the quarterfinals. So, do you think somewhere that was fair and the most like accurate way to get in a tournament?
I think this kind of a thing is never fair, to be honest. But at the same time, it probably the way cricket works as a sport, you most probably would have seen, likely you would have been likely to see like very one-sided matches, right? Be it India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, or Pakistan, right? Against some of the other teams, you probably would have seen very one-sided games. In fact, if you did see I think even in the group stages, we did see like Indonesia have a very one match against Mongolia, for example. So I feel having one of these four teams play against Mongolia would have resulted in like a pretty massive defeat as well, margin of defeat as well. And that is again with no actual offense to like Mongolia or Indonesia or whoever, right? But but that said, I think cricket as a sport seems to work like this, right? And where they do want to have you can't really have too many matches and it's games that go on for a long, slightly longer period of time compared to like other sports. So I think again that's another thing you have to consider. Maybe the interest of time also would come into the picture, right? And obviously it's very unfair for like three matches to be decided to decide the gold medalist. It's also very unfair if in the case of rain the higher ranked team goes through, right? Which is sort of what happened with the India Malaysia game, which I think would have ended up with India qualifying anyway, but on another day it would have just been very unfortunate for a team if they'd done a little better to sort of lose because of that. So lots of complaints with the format for sure. But at the same time, I'm not really sure they could have done too much better either.
Fair enough. And on the same line of thought, somewhere do you feel like, tournaments like the Asian Games will help these associate nations? Because we saw, many did not participate and the ones who did, were knocked out really soon. So, do you have anything in mind, like for a better format to ensure there's more matches and exposure, perhaps?
This is a very difficult question, to be honest. because very honestly speaking, like I think an ideal tournament would have all teams starting from the group stages, would have all teams looking to qualify for the quarters or the semis and then sort of move on from there, right? But the thing is, the games are like a 2-week thing, of which I think probably what like a few days or a week was reserved for the women's cricket tournament. So I think that sort of makes it, the time sort of makes it a little difficult to do. But in an ideal situation, I definitely think all teams should be playing group stages and then sort of taking it up from there. So a lot of constraints come the way, but yeah, ideally, I think this should be, it should start on a level playing field at least.
Agreed. And somewhere, they should definitely rethink this whole pathway to the quarterfinals and the medal winning matches as well. And as we reach the end of our discussion as well, what next for Team India? Because I am not aware of what is on schedule, even though we have the FTP that's out. And that really shows the apex body's effort in, spreading awareness about what are the matches next, because the attention seems to be a lot in the men's World Cup. So how do you look at it?
So you put me on a spot here because I don't really remember what's next either. But I do remember, I think there's an Australia series towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's one thing I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I think before all of that, I think the most important thing for the women's team right now should be appointing a full-time head coach
Yes.
and, you know, like sort of making sure that the team is in place for whatever it is that's coming next, whenever we find out about whatever's coming next, right? But so I think that's mainly it. I think it's also like important for the team and the selectors to figure out what players they sort of want to push, right? So yeah, I think a lot of internal things to look at as well.
Right. This is definitely that self-reflection time and figuring out all of these technical aspects as well.
Yeah.
And in conclusion, do you have any final thoughts or a message for our listeners?
Well, again, I mean, yeah, sort of keep enjoying Indian women's cricket. Keep enjoying cricket, I guess. And keep listening to Never on the Back Foot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. As
yeah.
I always say, and thank you so much for having me. So it's been a fun chat. Thank you.
Yeah, that does draw curtains to our discussion. Thank you so much, Hubble, for joining the podcast and sharing your thoughts again. He was hoping we can have you back, and India has won the World Cup, hopefully. And
so you're basically not calling me back, are you? Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
No, we're just being very optimistic here. And okay. Until next time, stay safe and take care. Bye for now.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverOnTheBackOne on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.